The scripture reading for today comes from Philippians 4, 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received from or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the peace of God will be with you.
Thank you, Steve, for that scripture reading. What I want you to do now is to take a deep breath, to maybe close your eyes. I want you to get settled here and meditate on whatever that annoying song is that's been stuck in your head the last few days. Really soak it in. Baby shark, do, 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 do. I think whatever the song is, we kind of know what that feels like, and it's not a good feeling. I love music, but when the music and lyrics are just like bouncing around inside your head, inside your skull, it can't find a way out, that is not a feeling I would wish on anybody, but we all know what that feels like. I'm gonna teach you a new vocabulary word this morning. It comes from the medical field, but not the modern medical field. It's more like a witch doctor type of medical field. And that word is called trepanation. Trepanation. And it is a, I'll read the definition. It is the surgical intervention in which a hole is drilled into the human skull. It was usually used on patients who were behaving abnormally in order to release evil spirits that were to blame for medical issues like epilepsy, mental illness, or perhaps even headaches. I'm not saying that we need to bring that back, but if you have baby shark stuck in your head, I'm not going to say we shouldn't bring that back. On this subject this morning, I am going to be talking a little bit about how the brain works in some different ways. And first, I think I need to tell you what my qualifications are for doing that. Number one, I have a brain, and it sometimes works. Number two, I did take a lot of psychology classes in college and even back in high school. I took AP psychology and I really enjoyed it. I took enough classes that I ended up with a minor in psychology at ACU, and some people would probably say that's kind of a worthless thing to get as a minor, and they might be right, but it was really interesting. So I loved taking a lot of psychology classes. And one thing that I do know about the way the human brain works is that our brains really don't like to move on. And this ties back into what I was saying a minute ago, that we need to be focused on the past. That's actually something our brains are really good at. Our brains kind of can't help but fixate on the past. We often replay past conversations that we've had with people and think, how could I have approached that better? How could I have said that better? A lot of times we try to go back and win arguments that have already happened after the fact. And usually we're way better at those arguments like 2 days later than we are in the moment. We really just replay important events in our lives. I think we all have instances that your brain kind of recognizes this is important. And a lot of times, I think even when you're in that event in your life, sometimes you already know that this is something I'm going to remember for the rest of my life. I have a few of those, and sometimes you can call those core memories, is what people call them. Maybe you've heard that before. A few years ago, my wife and I and some of our friends, we went to Disney World, and we saw this mom with her kids, and they all had shirts on that said, "This is a core memory day," meaning that the memories they make that day, they're going to remember for the rest of their lives. And I thought that was kind of a cute shirt and a cool thing for your kids to just remember, like, this is going to be a day they're going to remember forever. And that got me back to thinking about the first time I had gone to Disney World. I was about 5 years old. It was around the time of my birthday. And my birthday is in October, and I was born in 1996, which means that around that time, it was October of 2001. And not a lot of people were traveling in October of 2001 for reasons you can probably guess. And so what I do remember, although I didn't know what was going on, I do remember that at Disney World, there were like no lines. Got to do whatever ride we wanted to do over and over and over again. It was great. It was fantastic. And that's a memory that has stuck with me. I don't remember much of waiting in lines, but I remember doing a whole lot of rides. I remember my first time on an airplane, which was that same exact trip, and just being able to look out the window and see clouds below you, I think is a memory that I'm never going to forget. I still remember the first time that I went hiking in Colorado on a church trip and just looking out at the world and saying, I didn't know that the world could look like this. I remember Holly and I getting engaged and then getting all our family and friends on FaceTime afterward and showing them all the ring. I think we all have moments in our lives like this that you know, even when it's happening, I'm going to remember this the rest of my life. One memory I was in fifth grade and I was in my homeroom class and my desk was kind of toward the back right corner of the room, and I still remember sitting there looking down at my worksheet. We were learning about decimals and thinking, I'm going to remember this moment the rest of my life. I don't know why I did, but I had that thought, almost like a challenge. I wonder if I can remember this. So far, so good. I don't know why, but I remember it. You know, as sad as it is to say, I can remember some really awful moments in my life too that have stuck with me, and I think everybody can kind of relate to that. You can maybe have a traumatic memory that is going to stick with you too. There are just certain things, good or bad, that is really difficult for us to get out of our heads. This morning, Brady is not here, so I'm going to give him a compliment. Nobody tell him. I really loved one thing he said a couple of weeks ago on Easter Sunday, because at the end of the sermon, kind of tongue-in-cheek, he said, I want everybody to come back next week because we're still going to be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus because we do that every week. And I think that that is very true, and that's what we need to be doing. So this morning, we're going to talk about the resurrection mindset, and I don't want to hear that it's 2 weeks since Easter, because this is something we need to talk about year-round. And really, I think that this makes sense, right? Because the resurrection of Jesus was such an important event that we just can't get it out of our heads. And Jesus' disciples, too, this was an event that they couldn't get out of their heads. So we're 2 weeks past Easter, and I'm still talking about it. I'm going to keep talking about it because it affects all of us. I think a point we often seem to miss is that the resurrection isn't something that only affected Jesus, but it's something that affects all of us as well. And we're going to talk about what that means, because the resurrection of Jesus is just something that we shouldn't get out of our heads. Jesus' disciples, they had memories of Jesus, even after he was gone, after he rose from the dead, and we looked at some of those stories of him reappearing to his disciples. But then he didn't stay. He ascended to heaven, and all they had left of Jesus, aside from the gift of the Holy Spirit that he left behind, they had memories. They had stories. They remembered what it was like to be with Jesus. They remembered what it was like to be with Jesus. And just like some of these memories you can't get out of your head, eventually they decided, hey, we're going to write these down. And through the inspiration of God, that's how we have the Gospels, is God inspiring them, hey, you remember when Jesus did this, and we put those things together. And I think that that's really, really important. And that's why we have the New Testament, really. A large chunk of our New Testament was written by Saul, who later became Paul, and he had an experience with the resurrected Jesus on the road to Damascus. And after that, he could not stop writing about Jesus. I want to read a little bit about what he says about Jesus from a few different places. We should have a slide on there. There we go. I'm just going to read a few passages for us here. A couple are from Philippians, another one is from Romans. So Philippians 2:5 says, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus." Philippians 4:6-7. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Finally, Romans 12:2. "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So in church, we focus a lot on our hearts, and we use that word a lot. We use phrasing and language like this a lot. We want to give our hearts to God. We want to have pure hearts and transformed hearts, and that's great, but if you look at the words that I've highlighted here, I think you'll start to realize that Scripture tells us our brains are actually pretty important too, and our brains play into our spiritual faith. So in order to be like Jesus, we not only need to act like him, to be like him, I think Scripture tells us we also need to think like him. We need to think like Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus, the resurrection is not only about the body, but it's also about the brain. So we need to approach our lives with what I'm going to call a resurrection mindset. Number one, I think this means we need to think through every situation with the goal of representing Jesus as well as possible. So that requires some forethought, maybe some planning, and to plan out, how am I going to show Jesus at school today or at work today? How am I going to show everyone else Jesus when I'm just out running errands around town? When I'm doing things that seem mundane, that seem really trivial, how can I represent Jesus? Another way, super, super important, is we need to memorize and meditate on Scripture. And yes, I did say memorize. So a few weeks ago, we had our all-church retreat. And if you were there, I think it was a really great weekend. And we got to focus on Scripture, really on living the Word of God and just focusing on the words of Scripture the whole weekend. And something that I think is really important, and we probably don't emphasize enough, is the memorization of Scripture. It feels like something that maybe we tell our kids, but maybe we don't tell ourselves often enough. And I think that if we only relegate memorization of Scripture to a kid's classroom where you get a sticker or a piece of candy, which are not bad things, that's awesome. But if we only relegate it to that, then we're missing out on what I think God is calling us to. Because when we memorize Scripture, when you have it play over and over again in your head, just like a song that gets stuck in your head, you're going to get the words of Scripture stuck in your head? And we mentioned on that retreat how you've probably memorized more scripture than you think because so many of the songs we sing in church come directly from scripture. And that's one way that if you get those songs stuck in your head, that's actually a really, really great thing to get the words of God stuck in your head. And finally, I think to incorporate a resurrection mindset, we need to think about others kindly. And I didn't just say speak to them kindly, I said think about them kindly. And if you're anything like me, you're like starting to get worried now, because it's one thing to be held accountable for what you say out loud, but I think it's an entirely different thing to be held accountable for what I think in my own head. And I'm thinking that's going to get me into much bigger trouble. I think we're tempted to believe that we can't control our thoughts, and that kind of is what it is, but as long as I keep my mouth shut, then I'm kind of in the clear, right? And I think there's wisdom in that. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. But at the same time, I really do think that you can retrain and reshape your thoughts and your thought patterns. And I think that's something that scientific research actually tells us, that you can rewire and reshape your brain, even as adults. It's easier for kids to do this, but adults can do it too. So I have another picture up here. This is a neuron. It's a neuron. This is really the smallest unit of your brain that kind of controls the way we think. And the way that these work is that they are connected to each other, and you can see this in the picture. They have these pieces on the end of them that connect to each other and form connections. And there are an estimated 86 billion of these in your brain. And they all connect together in different ways, in infinitely complex ways, to shape your brain into what it is and really to shape you into who you are. And I think one thing that's really cool about viewing the brain this way is that God made it this way. You tell me there are 86 billion neurons all connected in different ways, and to me, that makes my faith in God stronger, because I think only God could have designed us to work that way. But these connections are strong, and whenever you make an association between two things, those connections get a little bit stronger. So I know that right about now, you're probably getting hungry, maybe thinking about what you're going to do for lunch after this, and you have been conditioned to think that way, because at this time, at this part in the sermon, you're thinking about food. And the more that happens, the more that connection in your brain is going to be strengthened, and next week at the same time, you might be thinking about it again. So yeah, these connections are strong, but they can be reshaped through different ways of training your brain, through different types of therapy you can do. You can reshape your brain. Sometimes your brain is so powerful that it works even when you don't know that it's working. And I'm going to talk about something called muscle memory. Maybe you've heard this phrase before, of muscle memory, and it's when your brain, it gets so good at doing something that you don't have to think about it anymore. It's like riding a bike. You don't forget. It's why you can drive to work in the morning, your daily commute, and not even really remember driving, but you got there in one piece. It's why you can, if you've ever played a musical instrument and you put it down for years and years, sometimes you can still pick that back up again and know how to play something, because this muscle memory is stuck in your brain, and it's like your hands or your voice or whatever knows what to do even when your brain doesn't seem like it knows what to do. So like I said, these connections can be undone, they can be reshaped, and there's this whole process of cognitive behavioral therapy, which is all about kind of rewiring your brain, because some people have really traumatic memories, and you can kind of undo these associations and make new ones. And it's a really powerful thing. And I think that the same thing is true of our faith. And one thing that I've told the youth group is part of the good news about Jesus is that we're not stuck, that we can change. Because through Jesus, you don't have to be the same person you've always been. We get the benefit of transformation, becoming a new person. When we decide to follow Jesus, when we're baptized, when we put on Christ, I think that in many ways, our faith becomes more conscious. Maybe we become more intentional about what we're doing. We make choices that are going to follow God closer. But I also think in many ways, through the work of the Holy Spirit, our faith actually becomes more subconscious. And a few weeks ago, we had a Devo, and Caleb Cheney wanted to talk, and he talked to the youth group about this exact thing, and he called it subconscious faith. So this is coming from Caleb, so thank you, Caleb. And he talked about the ways that sometimes God works in your brain in a way that maybe you don't even realize is going on, and the Holy Spirit takes over your heart and your mind and begins to do work in our lives that maybe we're not even aware of. I think this is a beautiful process, and through it, you see Jesus start to emerge through you in ways that you don't even know are happening. I do want to think back to a song that maybe I get stuck in my head sometimes. It's one that I sang in choir in high school, and if I do get it stuck in my head, that's not such a bad thing, because this was a good one. This song is called God Be in My Head, and it originally was a medieval English prayer that then was set to music. And as we finish, I want to kind of pray these words over us this morning, because it was a prayer originally. Does God be in my head and in my understanding? God be in my eyes and in my looking. God be in my mouth and in my speaking. God be in my heart and in my thinking. God be at my end and at my departing. God be in my head. My prayer for all of you is that you can get that annoying song out of your head. My prayer is that instead you get God stuck in your head and you just can't get him out. We're going to close with the words from Paul that we read earlier that Steve read, specifically Philippians 4, verse 8. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. If you would like to renew your heart and your mind through Christ and baptism, if you have any other needs, you can come forward as we stand and sing.